Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian.
I'm Luke
over there.
Yeah.
We're coming to you on a variety of stations. We got Devil Radio out in the Madison area. We got the Shaw right here in Waukesha. We got locally grown radio up in Wisconsin Rapids. And we also have Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau. It's four different markets right now. We're looking to expand to more, and I'm not going to tell you about them, but I'll give you a nice little story anecdote about my visit to one of them in one of the undisclosed locations. Pretty interesting, I think. But we also have an awesome show today that I'm pretty excited about. We're going to have Lieutenant Governor candidate Sarah Rodriguez.
We are. She's going to be joining us at 2:30 at the bottom of the hour. But first, we're going to also catch up on the student debt relief that was provided yesterday by the Biden administration. Hear Brian's thoughts on that story, since he was not able to attend with yesterday's show. But it was an excellent show yesterday, so if you missed any portion of it, go check out the podcast. We had Scott Ross on, formerly of One Wisconsin Now, Mr. Ethics, formerly Mr. Ethics here in Wisconsin as well.
He's a general ne'er-do-well and, you know,
political firebrand.
Firebrand. That's the other one.
Firebrand.
Firebrand. Hey, everybody. Would you like a firebrand?
And Scott was...
His name's Scott Ross. He spells it with one T.
One T. That is one of the most firebrand-esque parts of him as well.
We had to use the other T to start the fire so that he could hold it up in the air and go...
But Scott joined me. It was a really early political mentor for me as well. And I was at One Wisconsin Now while he was there. So he was great to talk to about the student debt relief that was provided yesterday. And Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign joined me as well. So go check out the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or civicmedia.us if you missed any portion of yesterday's big show. But like Brian said, we got a big show today. And there's also a weird story developing Middleton. So we're going to kind of dive into what the hell's going on in Middleton as well. And
I've always said that. What the hell is going on in Middleton? Honestly, that's
Bad's developing Middleton, you got to be like, oh, okay, this is interesting, because that's one of those... Middleton's one of those towns, cities, whatever you want to refer to it as. It's kind of...
It's the middle town.
It's quiet life there, I believe. It's a very nice neighborhood, very nice area, and
the Croots live there.
The Croots do. Yes, the family house is there in Middleton. And so when you hear a political story kind of boiling up from right-wing hate, it's interesting to go take a look at what's going on.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's when I think of right-wing hate, I think of Middleton.
Not really. So it caught my eye today, and we're going to share a little bit about what's going on there and some of the actors that are at play in Middleton for this story. But Brian, first off, we want to kick it off with student loans, or we want to share your story from...
Well, I had a really interesting anecdote. I drove... So a lot of these places we're going to, you know, we're looking to acquire and things like that require me to go and check out their transmitter sites. And generally, every transmitter site I've been to has been a basically a shack in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere, or sometimes in the middle of a neighborhood, but it's also a field. Anyway, it's a... usually a distance, and you're driving off-road for a little bit, and there's a shack out there. And sometimes there used to be a radio station that was at the base of the... because they used to do that. They used to have the antenna with the radio station attached to pretty much the antenna. If I go up to Wausau right now, the booth there is feet away from the transmitter. It's an interesting...
right on top of each other.
Yeah. And clearly there's good reasons and bad reasons for having it both places. In any case.
Did you grow up under power lines, Brian?
Why? So anyway, a lot of these places are basically different versions of an abandoned warehouse type of Resident Evil type of situation where nobody's been there since 1990, but there's still a jar.
We're knocking down the doors. We're coming in there.
But there's a jar of peanut butter there, and sometimes there are actual people who work in these places, and sometimes there are people who don't. My point is that every time I go out to these places, I know what I'm getting into is my mm-hmm. point, and I follow this young man to this. One first undisclosed location. It was totally fine, you know, shack in the middle of nowhere. We checked it out, took pictures, and then we drove to this other place, right? This other place happened to be on the property of, let's say, a compound, it seemed like. A really big house, you know, with a deck and stuff, like kind of like a party house. It seemed like more like a party-ish type of residence than a residence.
Yeah.
But like could be a residence too. It felt frat housey.
Okay.
And then there was like a garage there and stuff. But I had this feeling like I'm on a driveway, right? And I'm driving down into the woodsy type of area, and we pass by this dude shooting off rounds in an AR-15. off of a golf cart into a target, which, you know, is a safely set up target. It's got a, you know, big mound behind it, and it's into a hill. The problem was is that the path we were going went directly behind that hill. So the transmitter's on the other side of that hill. And I've never been there before, so I'm also like, you know.
You're a little cautious.
But I'm also like, do they know what I do? Do they know, like, what we're doing here? Like, what we're trying to...
They do, Brian, and they were there specifically because of that reason, because they know.
No, because I got to say, when we turned into this off this driveway, there was a big, giant Ron Johnson sign and a big, giant Glenn Grothman sign. Not the first I'd seen.
No Tim Michaels sign?
No, just a Johnson and Grothman.
Okay.
But very large. And, you know, there's a lot of people who get paid to actually have that on their property.
Listeners listening closely, you may have gotten a clue of where said undisclosed location may be.
There's a lot of them around the state, let me tell you.
No, I'm just saying.
Same exact setup in this.
Yeah, but it's in Glenn Grothman's district, is all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. That's about the only doxing I'm going to do. I don't mean it. The point is, it doesn't matter, but. It's an interesting scenario I was put in, is my point.
Yes, that is an interesting scenario.
I followed this guy around the path to this, you know, the back of this thing, and I get out, and I'm like, dude, am I getting whacked here? Like, what's going on? He's like, oh, no, he's just, you know, people sometimes stay on there, and they, you know, shoot off their rifles. And I'm not...
You're just blowing up some steam.
I don't, whatever, it's cool. Totally do that thing. But again, I can't tell you how discerning it was to go around him taking pictures and say, bang! Hey, what's... So
can you show me this part? Oh gosh!
Hey, wow, that's a really nice unit there. I like the way they. It reminded me of like that scene in Boogie Nights where
shooting off the gun in the background.
It's firecrackers.
Yeah.
So this kid is just shooting off firecrackers in the background, and these guys are all coked up trying to think about, you know, robbing Alfred Molina, which is I think why he became Dr. Octopus anyway. But he eventually firecrackers in the background totally added to the tension of the scene, and like the whole time I was like, all right, I gotta go, man.
There you go.
And again, I don't have any problem with people shooting rifles, and you know,
no,
if it's that, everything is just
right.
It's
if you bought it legally and you're in a safe space.
And I was on the other side of the hill. The hill was. I really had no danger unless the guy walked over the hill and said, "Hey,
what are you doing over there with that radio station?
What are y'all doing over here?" But it didn't happen. I was totally fine.
But
it was just one of those like, whoa.
It's an interesting afternoon.
It was interesting. But again, people could not have been nicer. People could not have been more wonderful folks I dealt with. And again, very, very gracious and super helpful. I can't be happier to work with those folks. But that was an interesting thing that I dealt with yesterday. I figured I wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, share a little anecdote.
Yeah.
Folks, you were listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. And if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We will be joined by Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate Sarah Rodriguez at the bottom of the hour. But if you want to call in, feel free to do so for segments 2 or 4. But Brian, did you see a whole lot of Tim Michaels bumper stickers while you're out on your journeys traveling around the state?
I saw little mini signs, and some people had their own made-up big signs. But
do you want to know what I had the realization of yesterday?
What?
I don't think I've seen a single Tim Michaels bumper sticker.
Well, I don't know that he's forever.
Do you think that's kind of the attraction for the Republican candidates or the Republican voters right now. They're like, eh, we don't know about him yet.
I don't know. I had this realization
as I was driving around. And yes, most of my driving does occur in Dane County, but there's been there's plenty of Republican yard signs and bumper stickers that I've seen. I guess I don't see a whole lot of Ron Johnson bumper stickers either. That's not something.
I see a lot more yard signs for Ron Johnson. Mm-hmm. I see a lot. There's a lot of yard signs for a lot of folks.
You want to know what I'm waiting for?
The Clayfish ones have come down.
Yeah, those all have come down. And I don't think those individuals that supported Rebecca Clayfish in the GOP's gubernatorial primary are going to quickly jump on the bandwagon for Tim Michaels yet. Seems like there's a little bad blood there between the two.
Yeah, and I think that honestly might.
I don't know how it's going to play out over the next couple. What, we got 10.5 weeks until the general election. It's still a lot of time left. But I just had this realization that I haven't seen any Tim Michaels bumper stickers. You don't see a whole lot of Ron Johnson bumper stickers. So it's just,
all I know is that every commercial break for any local program is an argument between ads.
Yeah. I fast forward through all this
great
stuff.
Another ad going, Evers is bad. Michaels is bad. Evers is great. Evers is bad. Michaels is good. I don't even know who it's like these, like, it's almost like you can't trust advertising.
They're all their own pre-made, you know, nice and cozy 30-second to a minute spots. And so, yeah, there's not a whole lot out there besides what they want to put out there. But you want to know what I'm looking for? I want to see a Mandela Barnes barn. I want a Barnes barn. I just want to see a giant barn here
a
in
barn
Wisconsin.
Barnes?
Yeah, just with... I feel like that just makes sense. Just, it's a play on barns. Come on!
Just have Mandela on every barn.
Just like, Mandela's face maybe on a barn, and it's just Mandela Barnes then. It's the Mandela Barnes barn. It's just, I don't know if the campaign's working on something like that, but it just sounds like too good of an opportunity. Like, there's those Culver's barns when you pass them, you know, they're blue. And
Yeah.
So, I feel that's like that's idea. Just...
And I think it's a missed opportunity, because I know he spent a lot of time up north. I think I know he's...
Yeah, he's going around the entire state.
He's put on a lot of miles.
Oh, yeah.
And he did that back in the when he was running for lieutenant governor as well. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what the mileage is for Sarah Rodriguez right now.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her how that's been going driving around the state as well. She'll be joining us at 2:30. We're gonna catch Brian up and dive into the student loan crisis a little bit more in this next segment. This is Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Big guy over there, that's Brian. We are Dueling Tangents together. You're listening. And Brian was, I like, thought you were going to jump in, and I was like, oh.
I have like four tangents.
We have so many tangents. There's so many stories going on right now. And I feel like anytime we're not on the air together a day, like, we just go and get kind of overdrive.
I got to tell you about this one thing.
It's so weird. But let's dive into this student loan update, because you sent me... You have a morning newsletter that you receive, and it's from the baseball world.
It's called Cup of Coffee with Craig Calcaterra.
Yes.
And I you also hear me recommend his book, Rethinking Fandom, whenever we talk about, you know, anything to do with baseball or any, you know, basically rooting for laundry in general. It's a really good read. Takes a couple hours, really short book, and worth it. He's a good guy, has a good note. But I want to read this little rant he goes on. I'm going to pick it up just a paragraph in. There are a lot of people who don't like this the student loan debt thing. Some don't like it as a matter of policy and because they fear it could exacerbate inflation. Many more don't like it because of politics or because of a grievance related to fairness that roughly goes, hey, I paid my student loans off, so why shouldn't someone else get a break? I don't take these complaints terribly seriously. Republicans would complain about a cure for cancer if a Democrat did it. So forgive me if I don't take their beefing over this seriously. Not only do they refuse to offer any ideas of their own about the student debt loan problem in this country.
Which is what Scott Ross pointed out on yesterday's show.
Yeah, they refuse to even acknowledge that there is a student loan problem in this country. so they can take a flying F and a rolling donut, as far as I'm concerned, which I thought was a very
I don't understand
clever.
What that means, even, but yeah.
A flying F and a rolling donut. I like that. It just rolls off the tongue.
Does it?
It's very nice.
Not the FCC-friendly version.
No. Yeah, the FCC, not friendly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I suspect there's a pretty heavy overlap between the people who cite fairness and those who went to college before the 1990s. You know, back before states slashed higher education budgets, tuitions went up like 300%, and Congress, led by Senator Joe Biden, it should be noted,
that's true,
made student debt non-dischargeable in bankruptcy, all of which greatly empowered those who peddled student loans and rendered the vast majority of said student loans predatory in the extreme. There was a time when higher education did not cost anything approaching what it does now. There was a time when student debt was manageable. That time is decades in the past, however, and those who are yelling about fairness generally fail to acknowledge that. It's totally a different game these days than it would be that it was when you could go to a state university for mid four figures a year, room and board and all. We have a legitimate crisis here that is hamstringing a couple of generations worth of people in major, major ways. And yes, that does affect you, but I'll read on. All that aside, I'll never understand the I had to endure some awful things so other people should have to as well mindset. Personally, if there's a problem facing a vast swath of the populace, I'd like to do things to address that problem even if it had not been addressed prior. I know someone who beat leukemia a few years ago. I don't think he'd be thinking unfair if someone cured leukemia now. One other thing. Given how much student debt is sitting out there, Americans owe more to lenders for student loans than they owe on car loans, credit cards, or any other consumer debt apart from mortgages. This is actually a fairly modest amount of debt relief Biden is offering here. Yet based on the hysterical responses to it we're already hearing and will continue to hear for some time, you'd think he actually did something truly sweeping and consequential as opposed to forgiving a relatively small percentage of debt.
Yeah.
You know what?
Which is what a lot of us talked about yesterday, is the fact that it was a step taken yesterday. It does not solve the student debt crisis. It is a step in the right direction, and it's going to make a difference in millions of Americans' lives.
Yeah.
But it does not fundamentally solve this problem.
Let me round this out.
And this
last
is going to be the end of the. Yep.
Yeah. Know what? Given that Biden is getting maximal political heat for just $10K, he probably should have gone way bigger. Politically speaking, it not cost him a thing, and it actually helped a lot more people. Democrats have never grokked that, and thus they constantly aim low, thinking they can thread some sort of moderate needle and head off criticism from the right. Just a total sucker's game they play. Maybe one day they'll stop playing it and will go big when they believe in something. That's the thing, is that this incrementalism, you'd think, you know, okay, the 10K, that cancels at least the interest, so you're going to... It's just your debt, right? You know, but no, they're not going to do anything.
I don't know, man. I'm going to balk at the fact that it's just saying that this is incrementalism, because this is life-changing. This is
It is.
This is transformative for a lot of Americans. Like, majority of lenders, this is going to either wipe away or remove a huge chunk. And yes, there are some individuals out there that took on even more, and they have predatory practices that led to them saying if they... took out $20,000 in loans, and for years they've been paying, and they've paid off $20,000 almost, and they still have thousands of dollars left because of those predatory interest rates. And so this is a transformative step taken in solving this crisis, but I do agree.
It's a fair way of doing it.
Yes.
For those who are like, I don't want it.
This is the most fair way. If you want to say that if you're saying this is unfair, Brian, then I just don't understand where you're coming from.
No, I know.
There's people out there that are.
But. Yeah. Yeah, it's fair because for the most part, the 10K will just, on a most person's student loan, will just cancel out the interest that you've accrued, and it will also limit the interest. So, again, you're going to be paying back.
Yeah, and he also capped monthly payments at only 5% of your total income as well. Yeah. So that cut that in half. So it's just, it's limiting the amount that you're forced to pay back on a monthly basis as well, which is going to be transformative for household budgets.
Yeah, you're still going to have to pay. You're still going to have to pay back, but it's not going to be, you know, inflated over, you know, your entire life. And then, hey, kids.
Why are millennials buying more cars? Why are millennials buying houses? Why are millennials doing this? Why did millennials ruin this industry? Yeah. Well, hopefully we can hear less of those stories then, because the individuals that have been freed from student loans, not everybody was freed. Again, it's important to point out, But this is a huge step yesterday, and it goes also back to the whole point where no matter what Democrats do, they're going to call us socialists and say that we're trying to ruin America as we know it, where Biden beat the socialist. Bernie Sanders is not president. This is the moderate position, and it's going to be huge for a lot of Americans.
Remember, all that 10 grand is going to go right back into the economy, too, because it's targeted towards people who will just spend it anyway, because most everybody here has a list of things they're going to buy if they happen to have an extra windfall.
And Brian, you're telling me that trickle-down economics isn't the solution, though?
I don't know. I figured you'd cut out the middleman, but that's just me.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We're going to be joined by Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate Sarah Rodriguez coming up next. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke. We are coming to you from all across the state, really. Luke's in Madison. You're on Devil Radio. I'm in Waukesha. You're on the Shaw. Up in Wausau, you're listening to Bull Falls Radio. And out in Wisconsin Rapids, we got ourselves on locally grown radio. And I'm pretty excited because I'm assuming that Lieutenant Governor Candidate Sarah Rodriguez, who is joining us right now via Zoom, is out driving our signal and listening to all of our stations all across the state. Because I see that you're in the back of a moving vehicle very safely, not driving at the same time. I just want to clarify that for everybody. Luke was asking a question the last segment, and wouldn't it be cool if you looked out the window and the barns that you saw had Mandela Barnes's face on it, or like Mandela, so that you could have Barnes across the state? I thought that'd be cool, or at least Luke would.
I love it. If I find one, I will make sure you can see it.
Perfect. Yeah, and I don't know if you. I know it's not your campaign; it's his campaign. But if you see him on the campaign trail, you should mention to him that that's something that just should be happening as many places as possible.
Burns. Yes. I love it. Yep. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, I am on the road. I have my seatbelt on in the back seat. I am not driving, doing this Zoom just to make sure. But yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you taking the time out of your afternoon to join us. Where are you off on the road to? What kind of events are we doing on the campaign trail today?
So I was just in Madison, and I am going back to the Milwaukee area to Waukesha, and so we're on our way back.
All right, that awesome I-94 corridor. We got 1580 AM across it. You're going to be entering the 540 AM signal. So yeah, all across the signal patterns here for Civic Media. Great to hear.
I wore a track in that road. I'm pretty sure all of us have done that in our time. All right, so you're going out there. You're campaigning for and Evers just dropped this wonderful, giant, detailed plan to go and breathe life back into this state. Tell us about that and what we're doing to push that out across the state.
So Governor Evers just released this fantastic plan to get more money in people's pockets. Everyday Wisconsinites. He is asking for a reduction in taxes for folks up to 10% for lower income or middle income individuals within Wisconsin. So that's going to be fantastic. That's going to put more money in people's pockets. He's also expanding different credits for taxes. So the homestead credit that people can again ask for those on their taxes and get more money back as we move forward. And one thing that I'm really excited about is that he has been proposing capping insulin prices monthly to $35 a month. And we know that that is something that people need. It is something that they have to have every day to make sure that they're healthy. And we should not be bankrupting people because they need to take care of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that we could have had for individuals with private insurance. But unfortunately, Wisconsin senior senator from decided to vote against that earlier this month. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, one of the 43 Republicans, I believe, that opposed that amendment being added to the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed earlier this month. And so one of the other aspects that I saw in the proposal for that Evers announced earlier this week, Sarah, is allowing childcare credits to families to get families back into the workforce, because a huge hurdle that families have had to overcome amid the COVID-19 pandemic, but before it as well, is the rising cost of childcare. And so can you tell us a little bit more about that aspect of the proposal? And is that a big factor of what you're hearing on the campaign trail? Is that something that Wisconsin residents are talking to you about, or is this going to be more of something that we kind of are putting on a wish list that we're not going to be able to see?
So people are talking about childcare on the campaign trail, although I would be remiss to say we have the lowest unemployment rate that we've ever had in Wisconsin. And we have the highest worker participation rate in Wisconsin, the most people working we've ever had. So Wisconsin is on a fantastic track. That's why we need four more years of Governor Evers to make sure we continue on that path. But this childcare, I mean, I have two kids myself. I remember when I had to pay for childcare for both of them. That was a huge chunk of my budget. And so if we can help people out to make sure that they can get some of that money back in their pockets, they may be more willing to go out to that workplace. And I know we've got a worker shortage today. People are talking about that. So the more incentives we can give for people who want to go into that workplace and they need that childcare support to be able to do that, fantastic. That's what Governor Evers wants to do.
Yeah, and it'll also, you know, create more business opportunities for people who want to start childcare services too. Right. Now, a lot of these proposals, you know, you're in a unique position. You're also a state rep as well as running for lieutenant governor. So, one, your role is, you know, hoping to change, but this proposal has to go through the legislature. Can you talk about the role that you have now? Because, again, you're on they called the session. They said, sorry, guys, we're done for the year. Everybody go run your campaigns. So, again, we have to get this through the legislature. Can you speak from that point of view and perhaps the future point of view from when you were lieutenant governor, what you can do to influence this type of legislature going through, or at least maybe, you know, make things work better? I don't know.
Right. So, yeah, I'm a current sitting legislator today. They did gavel out of session quite a while ago, yet I would be happy to come back. And in fact, Governor Evers had called a special session to overturn the 1849 abortion law, that antiquated law that we have here in Wisconsin. I was sitting in my seat. All the Democrats were sitting in their seats ready to have that conversation with our Republican counterparts. And they gaveled out in less than a minute. So didn't even want to have a conversation about it. And so we know that that is not representative of what Wisconsinites want. So when I'm lieutenant governor, that's one of the areas that I'm going to fight for. I want to make sure that women have access to reproductive health care, access to abortion services. And I'm going to fight like hell to make sure that they can do that without political interference. And so when I become lieutenant governor, I'm going to be going back and forth between the legislature, making sure that they understand what the governor's priorities are, and that these are popular propositions, proposals for Wisconsinites. They want these things passed. They want us to work together. So let's go ahead and do what's right for Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was very disheartening to see the fact that that special session that was called by the governor lasted mere seconds, because the fact that the discussion can't even be had shows that they don't want to debate their side. It's a very difficult position to be able to defend here in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to the matters of reproductive health and just addressing inflation is a huge cost as well. So outside of abortion and inflation, what other kind of issues are you hearing from constituents that you're talking to in your district and around the state as you're running for lieutenant governor? What else is on the top of mind of Wisconsinites?
So I think safety is on the top of mind. I think good public schools are on the top of mind for folks. They want to make sure that we are fully funding our public schools. They want to make sure that their kids go to a really good public school system. And our Republican counterpart wants to defund the public schools. He wants to strip funding from public schools. That is not in line. That is radical, divisive, and out of touch with what most Wisconsinites want. And so that is what I'm hearing, that these proposals are not aligned with Wisconsin values. The other thing that I'm hearing is that they don't want firearms in public schools. And that's what Tim Michaels is proposing. We've had multiple different school shootings, and he wants to put more guns in public schools. That is not a safe place to put your kids. Again, I've got two kids. I got to drop them off to school every day, And I think about that every time I drop them off. Is this going to be the day that something happens? And I want a governor who's going to be fighting for our kids and making sure that they're safe, not public school grounds.
Absolutely. And it is a little interesting that we've got a Republican gubernatorial candidate that doesn't necessarily spend all of his time here in Wisconsin, I guess, is the nicest way that we can put it. He says that through his taxes that he's spending at least 183 days in Wisconsin, but he's also kind of elusive since getting that nomination. Just love to hear your thoughts on kind of the Connecticut ties for the Republican gubernatorial candidate this cycle.
Right. Well, we know his kids went to schools in Connecticut. We know that they were living there. We know it's multiple houses all across the U.S. He says he lives in Wisconsin. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that he certainly doesn't reflect Wisconsin values. And so, you know, I think he's going to have to answer for that on the campaign trail.
Yeah, one of the things Pat Kreitlow, who hosts Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, up on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, he and I joked that we don't even know if Tim Michaels would necessarily know how to order an old-fashioned if he walked into a Wisconsin supper club. I'm not saying that you got to tell us right now if it's your favorite drink or not, but if you had to order an old-fashioned at a Wisconsin supper club, how would you order it?
Well, I would want mine sweet, and I want to make sure I have the maraschino cherries in there. I mean, those are the really actually two things that I want to make sure that I have. My parents go out to try and go to supper clubs as I was growing up, and that was one of my favorite memories that I have.
Perfect. Wow. I prefer mine sweet unless I've had more than one, then I got to go press with the second or third.
I'm just going to go straight to a Knob Creek Manhattan with a bunch of extra cherry juice.
Okay, Mr. Connecticut over here. That's just
hey,
a Manhattan.
Hey, listen, I grew up in New Hampshire. I'm not trying to represent anything, and I'm not trying to go and run for, I'm not trying to represent Wisconsin here. I'm kind of an outside voice. I've been used to being an outsider. I've moved around a lot, and I make no bones about it. It's totally fine. But again, I'm not pretending to go and say that I'm a Wisconsinite when I'm clearly not. That's all I'm saying. And besides, I think it's great. Your kids are in school here in the state.
Yep.
You know what it's like to have kids here in the state. And you know, and these issues that we're talking about, these are things that are in a political vacuum, completely aside from, you know, whether they're talking to you about Democrat or Republican issues, when you talk to them about things like school funding, when you talk to them about things like, because a lot of these communities, you can slash the budget in the state, they still vote for more school funding locally for their own grants. So these are issues that are local, and it's refreshing and wonderful to have a candidate who actually experienced these. You know, it's because I mean Evers has been an administrator, his kids are older and moved on. You're right there. You're right, just like everybody else. Exactly what we're looking for in a representative of someone in Wisconsin. That's really what I'm getting to.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And my kids, they do go to public schools, and we have really loved. I've loved raising them in Wisconsin. Honestly, I grew up here. I went to Brookfield East High School. Now my kids are going to the Waukesha School District, and I couldn't be happier than raising my kids here. And I want them to stay. Right? So they're a little older now. They're 13 and 15. And if we continue along a path of regressive policies that the Republicans want to implement, we are going to lose our kids to other states. And so I want to make sure we reelect Governor Evers. We continue on the prosperous path that we are having. And so our kids stay and thrive in Wisconsin.
And one more quick question, because we only got a couple minutes here left before the end of this segment, Representative Rodriguez. We see a new report coming out that public employees are leaving at one of the greatest rates here in the state of Wisconsin, and it kind of touches on what you just said, the regressive policies. As more of a political newcomer, first running for office in 2020, what words of encouragement can you provide for individuals seeking to join the public service rather than leaving the public sector?
So even though I'm relatively new to politics, I've been in the public service almost my entire career. I was a Peace Corps volunteer. I worked as a public health nurse throughout my career. with the different agencies, such as the CDC. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer. And there is no better value that you can have than to serve within your community. And those are the kind of positions that are available within public service today. And when we can have another 4 years of Governor Evers, we're going to see that positive path that we're going to go on. And these people are going to have real impacts within Wisconsin and in their communities.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Representative Rodriguez. We really appreciate it. Best of luck on the campaign trail where you are heading to back in the Milwaukee, Waukesha area. We hope you come back to Dueling Tangents real soon.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Folks, we got one more segment left in the day. 844-967-2789. We're going to be taking your phone calls and diving into this Middleton story because something interesting going on over there.
What is happening?
What is happening? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got Evan on the board, lightly screening your phone calls, 844-967-2789. And you're listening on a range of civic media stations. Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios this afternoon. Brian is in Waukesha on the Shaw. We're up in Wausau, Wisconsin on Bull Falls Radio and in Wisconsin Rapids locally grown radio. Want to thank again Lieutenant Governor Candidate... It's gubernatorial candidate then. I always just want to say lieutenant governor and then candidate gets there and I'm like, oh wait, that's not descriptive of so lieutenant
it's
gubernatorial
like
candidate.
Baseball.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But Sarah Rodriguez, state representative from the Brookfield area, want to thank her for appearing on the show with us this afternoon. I think it's very refreshing to hear Representative Rodriguez's answers. She's very direct. She is wants to represent Wisconsinites, and she's coming from a purple area. So I think very effective candidate the Democrats chose for the gubernatorial ticket.
I may be a Wisconsin outsider, but I did grow up learning that leadership is service.
Yeah.
And
I grew up learning the same.
That seems how she seems to go about her business. I like that.
And she knows how to order an old-fashioned, which I can't say for Tim Michaels.
I'm sure he just has things brought to him and whatever. I don't know. I don't want to. No.
No, you don't want to go there? Okay.
No, let's just leave it.
Well, let's get into the story that we've been kind of touching on, Brian, because there's some conservative snowflakes out there.
Really?
You're going to be surprised to hear that, maybe. And in right-wing media ecosystems, they tend to like to throw a fit, but lately we've seen that they take their crying and they force it onto cultural wars. We saw it in Keele, Wisconsin earlier this year when the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty was publicizing a Title IX investigation into middle school kids just mispronouncing another fellow student.
Yeah, and not, hey, could you just call them a different name or just go the other way when they come by?
No, like up to the level of harassment.
Up to the level of, like, national talking points, going on Tucker Carlson and whining about having to call someone by a different pronoun.
To the point where parades were shut down. All of the municipal buildings were threatened with bombs. Like, it was bad. The FBI was there investigating those bombs, and the city of Keele was shut down for days.
However you feel about somebody pronouncing themselves in any which way, I don't think we ever care about it enough to escalate to the point of bomb threats. And if you do, maybe you should look at your life and go.
Yeah, your priorities may need a little reorganization.
Just throwing that out there.
Just maybe a little bit. And so, yeah, that's an excellent point, Brian. You got to kind of take that self-introspection. And I have a feeling that's not going to come from this most recent story, though. Because on right-wing talk radio, a candidate for sheriff here in Dane County was upset for the fact that he's running on the Republican side of the ticket.
Okay.
And he wanted to march in a parade in Middleton. The Good Neighbor Festival is coming up this weekend, and they have a parade. Okay. And so the longstanding principle for the parade is that if you're an incumbent, you can march in the parade. There are currently no Republicans representing Middleton. It's just not that there are no elected Republicans in Middleton. I don't believe there's any elected Republicans in Dane County. I would
kind of like there's no elected Democrats in most of Kansas, you know, things like that.
I thought you were going to say Waukesha County. I was going to be like, oh, wait, We just spoke to one.
No.
But yeah, so there's no elected the Republican running in the Dane County Sheriff's race is not the incumbent, so therefore he wasn't allowed to march in the parade. And he was taking his grievances to right-wing talk radio. So the point where listeners to that program that heard this started, they were encouraged to by the host, Vicky McKenna, and by this candidate to call into the city of Middleton and to the committee for this parade to air their grievances.
I'm sure that those were great calls.
You'd hope that they'd tell him to do so respectfully, but apparently a lot of the calls and the emails and the messages sent to the city of Middleton and the parade committee, fairly violent, Brian.
I for one am shocked.
To the point where one of them, I want to get this quote right, so I'm going to read it from the piece over at the Milwaukee Journal
Sentinel. It's important to use their words correctly because they get really mad when you use their own words against them. So let's
yes.
do that.
Yes. So festival, reading from the piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Ben Baker. Festival president Nancy Vickery said one threat that prompted the new policy to have Middleton, quote, blown off the face of the earth. Vickery said she faults Hamilton for fueling animosity towards the city during his interview with conservative radio host Vicky McKenna. So that was the name of the candidate as well as the show that was on.
Is that the host that the Devils pulled better ratings than?
That's
loser host, the one that isn't as good as the product we put out.
Second place host?
Yeah, yeah. The not as good one. Yeah, yeah.
The Buzz Aldrin of talk radio here in the Madison
network. Don't bring Buzz into this, man.
Poster child for second place. Come on, man.
Don't leave Buzz Aldrin out of this. Poor Buzz Aldrin. That guy's a freaking astronaut. He's better.
You're right. He's an American hero. It was a terrible comparison. I apologize. I was going for the joke more than anything.
I get you there, but my goodness, don't bring Buzz Aldrin into a thing with.
What's a better? What's a better, more politicized or more well-known second place?
Now everything is all messed up. I'm thinking of Vicky McKenna. Well,
so this is the new policy that the parade president of the parade was sharing. Is no politicians are allowed to march now in the Good Neighbor Festival in Middleton.
Oh, okay.
So because one candidate was upset.
Well, it kind of made it better for all of us. That's going to be a short parade.
it probably will be a fairly short parade.
If it shields children from Tim and his Michaels, then...
But imagine, Brian, drumming up this kind of hate to a community that was, like, extremely close to being victims
of a mass shooting
on July 4th.
Yeah. That's right. The guy left himself.
Less than 2 months ago, an active shooter from Highland Park, Illinois, drove up I-90-39 to the Madison area, ditched his cell phone down the road from where I am broadcasting today in the Middleton area on University Avenue. And the same individuals that are now drumming up the animosity towards this parade in the city of Middleton are just feeding in to this narrative that is harmful and getting threats of violence to the point where somebody wants to blow Middleton off the face of the earth.
Well, you know, that's the type of passion that the Good Neighbor Festival really inspires in people. You know, I'm of the mind that, is it my parade? Well, I guess I don't write the rules to it, huh? Because if you run the parade, then you get to run the rules. But since you're not, you don't get to write the rules for the parade, since it's not your parade. Like if you're trying to invite yourself and someone doesn't want you there, then why are you trying to fight yourself? Like, I was a door guy for a long time. Like, dude, I can't let you in. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to fight you. Oh, okay. Now that you've beaten me up, let me let you in. Like why do you want to be in a place that people don't want you at?
They didn't petition the committee, ask for an exception or anything like that. Just went to the right-wing media ecosystem and told the listeners there to point their hate towards the city of Middleton and the parade committee.
It ain't too hard. Mickey Mouse got them so mad. Mickey Mouse, he's so nice to people, and I hate it.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.